Brethren, if you have your Bibles, please open them up with me to Psalm 89 and verse number 7. That's Psalm 89 and verse number 7 as we establish an important principle here as we begin. One of the most frequent topics, yes, one of the most frequent topics that is discussed in the religious world today has to do with the right of women to speak in the assembly of the Lord. And it is that subject, brother. It is that subject that I'd like to speak about with you here this morning. The psalmist says here in Psalm 89 and verse 7 regarding how the people of God are to approach the living God in the assembly of the saints, in the assembly of the Lord. The psalmist says here in Psalm 89, and verse number 7. God is greatly to be feared. Yes, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. Brethren, we're reminded here that as we approach the living God, especially in the assemblies of the Lord, that we must do so with great awe, with great reverence, and great respect, carefully following the instructions that he has given to us. We cannot and do not display our respect for God when we do things that are contrary to his will. And so it is the clear instructions given by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that I'd like to study with you here this morning. Our lesson here this morning then comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 34. Please turn with me there now if you have your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse number 34. As we examine this passage, I would like to use the words of the Apostle Paul as the title for our lesson here this morning. Let your women keep silent in the church. Yes, let your women keep silent in the churches. The Apostle Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it did? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Brethren, in recent years, the role of women has drastically changed in many churches around the world. Many churches now have women preachers, women pastors, women priests, women bishops, women elders, women evangelists, women apostles, etc., etc. You name it, brethren, and they've got it. As well, this trend is beginning to catch on even in some churches of Christ. Yes, even in some churches of Christ where you find some women leading public prayers, some women leading the singing, and some women making the public announcements. Now, why is this happening, you may ask? Well, brethren, as society changes and moves forward. Yes, as society changes and moves forward, these changes are often reflected in the assembly of our Lord. Yes, if certain things can occur outside the assembly in society, then people reason, brother, and that's where it comes from. Then people reason that they can also occur inside the assembly, inside the church. This is what they believe, and so this is what you see. This is what you see out there in the religious world today, women preachers, women pastors, and women evangelists. Now, the question that we want to scripturally answer here this morning is the following, and is an important one. Is it God's will, brethren? Is it God's will that women speak out in the assemblies of the Lord? Yes, is it God's will Is it God's will that women speak out or take the floor in the assemblies of the Lord? Is it God's will? Is it God's will that women teach in the assembly, that women preach in the assembly, or that women speak out or take the floor in the assemblies of the Lord? Is this what God has ordained as acceptable, brothers? As acceptable in the assembly of the saints as we approach it? Well, let's return to our scriptural text and again, carefully read the words of Paul, brethren. Words that are often ignored or even sometimes overlooked. The Apostle Paul says here again in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the church, for they are not permitted to speak, but they're to be submissive as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Now notice in this one passage alone, Paul clearly says in three different ways that women are to keep silent in the church, that is, keep silent in the assemblies of the Lord. First, Paul says here in verse 34, he says, let your women keep silent in the church. Yes, let your women keep silent in the church. Well, what does that silence mean? Well, secondly, Paul also says in verse 34, he says, for they are not permitted to speak. That's what it means. For they are not permitted to speak. And third, Paul says in verse 35, just in case we don't get it, just in case we don't understand, he says, for it is shameful, brethren, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. And so this repetition is very clear. It's very clear and carries great weight or force. According to the Apostle Paul, who was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who is God, women are to keep silent in the churches. They are not permitted to speak. That is, they're not permitted to speak out or take the floor in the assembly. Why, brethren? For it is shameful, brethren. For it is shameful in the eyes of God, in the eyes of God, for women to speak in church. Now, who decreed that? Who is that from? It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. It's from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who saved us from our sins. If Paul says here that he spoke the commandment of the Lord, he spoke the commandment of God. Now who can argue in the face of such clear language, brethren? Who can argue? The command is crystal clear. Yes, the command is crystal clear. We've all read it together. It's easily understandable and discernible. However, there will always be some who, of course, will argue with this. There are always those who rebel against the clear oracles, the clear authority of God, and Paul anticipates this in the verses that follow. Paul says to those who choose not to heed these edicts or oracles from God, beginning in verse 36. Paul says here again in 1 Corinthians, chapter 14 and verse 36, he says, oh, did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write unto you here, yes, the things that I write unto you here are the commandments of the Lord, but if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. You see what Paul said there, brethren? He said, but if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, what is Paul saying here, brethren? Paul is saying, if you choose to ignore this, let it be at your own peril. Just let it be at your own peril. I'm not going to argue with you about this. But understand this. Yes, understand this, that the things that I write unto you here, yes, the things that I write unto you, the things that I've told you here, are the commandments of the Lord, yes, the commandments of the living God. Now I want you to notice some other things. I want you to notice some other things that are quite important here. Notice first that the command for women to remain silent in the church involved all of the congregation of the saints. Yes, this involved all of the congregation of the saints. This was not some local custom of the Church of Corinth. No. No. Yes, the New King James Version of the Bible says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34, Paul says here, he says, let your women keep silent in the church. The church is being plural. In the churches, where they are not permitted to speak. Meaning keep silent in all of the churches of Christ. This was all of the churches of Christ. The New American Standard Version says the women are to keep silent in the churches, but they are not permitted to speak. The New King James Version of the Bible says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. And finally, the NIV Version of it. I like the way the NIV Version says it. It says, as in all of the congregations. Yes, as in all of the congregations of the saints, let the women keep silent in the churches. And so this was a universal command for the church, brethren, not a local custom. Yes, a universal command for the entire body of Christ. All of the churches of Christ. And you know, Paul even says as much, brethren, when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. He says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write unto you here are the commandments of the Lord, yet the commandments of the Lord. And so these were the commandments of God, brethren. These were from God, not man. Not the opinions of Paul. Not the musings or thoughts of a mere man, but the commandments of the Lord, the very thoughts of the living God. Now, in contrast to this, brethren, in contrast to this, you had the pagan religious gatherings. Yes, the pagan religious gatherings where women priests would often deliver the message. They delivered that message. They were the ones that delivered that. However, in all the congregation of the saints, the women were to remain what, brethren? Silent. Yes, silent. You see, under God, brethren, here's the great contrast. Under God, brethren, there is submission and subjection. Yes, there is submission and subjection, which leads to what? Peace, order, and unity. That's what you get when you follow God, brother. You get peace, you get order, and you get unity. Under paganism, yes, under paganism, which is false religion, where anybody can do whatever they want, where anybody can say whatever they want, you have chaos, strife, disorder, and division. That's what you get with false religion, brethren. You get chaos, strife, disorder, and division. And so what Paul is essentially saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, brethren, in order to establish order in the assemblies of the Lord, and that's what this whole thing is about, in order to establish order in the assemblies of the Lord, is I want all the women in Corinth. Yes, I want all the women in Corinth to do what all the other women do in all of the churches of Christ. What is that, brethren? Remain silent in the churches. Remain silent in the assemblies of the Lord, that there might be peace, that there might be order, that there might be unity in the body of Christ, in the assemblies of the Lord. That all things, brethren, that all things might be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, which is the end of all of these things. Brethren, as God is a God of order, yes, as God is a God of order, he commands and he demands order within his church and within his assembly, as this is the reflection of one of his great attributes. Notice secondly, brethren, I want you to notice secondly, where the women are to keep silent. Yes, I want you to notice, secondly, brethren, where the women are to keep silent. Now, where are they to remain silent? They're to keep silent in the churches. Yes, in the churches, meaning in the assemblies of the Lord. For that is what that word means, brethren. The church is the assembly. Yes, the church is the assembly of the Lord. Yes, the word church here, which is ekklesia in the Greek, literally means the assembly. Yes, according to Baer, Ard, and Gingrich, the word ekklesia means assembly. According to Thayer's Greek lexicon, brethren, the word ecclesia in the New Testament means assembly. According to Vine's expository dictionary of New Testament words, the word church means assembly. And finally, brethren, in Barry's interlinear. Yes, in Barry's interlinear, all 116 times where ecclesia is used, it's translated as what? As assembly. And so wherever you see this word church in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's speaking of what? It's speaking of the assembly or the assembly of the Lord. And that is the main subject of this chapter, brethren, what the Lord expects of his saints as they approach him in the assemblies of the Lord. Well, some people may ask, well, what is the church, Brother Dan? What is the assembly? Well, the church is not the building, brethren, as many in religion believe. No. No, the church is not the building. You know, many people today will say, well, I'm going to church today, and they're thinking about a brick building. No, that is not the church. Brethren, Jesus did not die for a brick building. No, the church is far greater than that, brethren. The church is much greater than that. The church is the people of God. Yes, the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, gathered together in one place doing those things authorized by God. That is the church. That is the assembly of the Lord. And so where are the women to keep silent, brethren? They're to keep silent in the church, in the assembly of the Lord, when the church is assembled together in one place doing those things authorized by God. Yes, note what Paul says again in verse 34. Paul says here, he says, let your women keep silent. Where? In the churches. In the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. And verse 35, where he says, for it is shameful for women to speak. Where? In church, meaning in the assemblies of the Lord. And so it is when the church is assembled in one place, doing those things authorized by God, that women are to do what? They're to remain silent in the assembly. Well, can women speak outside the church? Outside the assembly? Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course they can. Of course they can. Paul here is talking about when the church is gathered together in one place, doing those things authorized by God. Brethren, if women were supposed to remain silent all the time, and I mean all the time, I would have told my wife that over 30 years ago, brethren. I wouldn't have waited for this morning to tell her that one. Brother, let me tell you something. It would have been mighty quiet. It would have been mighty quiet up in my house over the last 30 years if God had said that women were to remain silent inside the church and outside the church. But no, he didn't say that. He didn't say outside the church. And so we want to be clear on that one. Well, can women speak out in Bible study, Brother Dan? Good question. Good question. I was hoping that somebody would ask that question here this morning. Good question. Yes, in most cases they can. Yes, in most cases women can speak out in Bible study. Brethren, the church is not assembled when it is divided into classes. Think about that question. Yes, the church is not assembled when it is divided in the classes. And this is easy to understand. But then when we were in school, we would all be in one building in different classes. English, history, math, science, etc. And then the bell would ring, and then we would all go to the gym or auditorium for the what? For the assembly. And so it is then, brethren, it is then when we're all gathered together in one place that we're in the assembly. Specifically, when we're all gathered in one place doing those things that are authorized by God. That is the church. That is the assembly of the Lord. Now understand this also, brethren. This is extremely important. I want you to listen carefully. Understand this also, that the assembly of the Lord is not just worship service. No, the assembly of the Lord is not just worship service. No, Paul did not say, brethren. Look at your Bible. Paul did not say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, he did not say be silent in the worship services. No, he never says that, brethren, but that's what many people think he says. No, Paul said, brethren, the Bible says be silent in the churches, meaning be silent in the assemblies of the Lord and the church of our Lord. The church of our Lord assembled together for more things than simply worship. Sometimes, brethren, sometimes the church also assembles together to conduct its business. Yes, to conduct its business. Think about this for a second, brethren. Any entity that exists must come together at some point to discuss its business. Yes, you have to discuss your business. What are you going to discuss? Where you've been. Where you're going. How to do things more efficiently. And sometimes you're going to discuss the problems that come up within that business. And that's exactly what the first century church did, brethren. They gathered together sometimes specifically to conduct its business. In Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, the church assembled together here to discuss the business of the church. The church assembled to discuss the problem where some widows were not being served in the daily distribution of the food. They solved that problem, brethren, where? In the assembly, appointing men to serve tables. In Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, the church assembled together to discuss more business. Paul and Barnabas gathered the whole church together to give a report of their missionary journey. Is that not the business of the church, brethren, to discuss the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Brethren, that is the business that we find ourselves in today. In Acts chapter 15, the church assembled again for what? For more business. The church assembled here to discuss a doctrinal issue that arose from false teaching. And so all these things, brethren, all these things, not simply worship, are attributed to assembly or church activity that's done in the assemblies of the Lord. That's done in the assembly. Therefore, if a woman is to keep silent in the church, in the assembly of the Lord, she is instructed to keep silent any time the congregation is engaged in such activity, brethren, not just when it is engaged in worship service. Again, the Bible never says to be silent in the worship service, brethren. No, that's what we sometimes think it says. No, the Word of God, brethren. The Bible, the mind of God says that women are to remain silent in the church, in the assemblies of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34. And the Lord authorized the church to assemble for both worship services and business meetings. Notice third, brother. I want you to notice third that Paul says that women are to, quote unquote, keep silent in the church. Yes, Paul says here that women are to, quote unquote, keep silent in the church. Now, what exactly does Paul mean when he says that women are to keep silent? What does that word silent there mean, brother? There's been a lot of speculation about that. Well, some people believe that it means to speak in a non-authoritative way. Yes, to speak in a non-authoritative way, that women may speak, but in a non-threatening, non-authoritative way. However, that's not what the Greek word there means. No, the word silent here means exactly what you might think it means. Yes, it means exactly what you might think it means in our own language. It means, brethren, to keep silent. Yes, it means to keep silent. It means to hold your peace. It means not to speak out. Yes, when you examine the Greek word used for silent in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in the Greek lexicons, the word is sigeo, that is S-I-G-A-O, that's what you learn. Thayer's Greek lexicon says that the word silent here means to keep silence, to hold one's peace. Vine's Expository Dictionary also says that the word silent here means to be silent, to hold one's peace. Strong's Greek Hebrew lexicon says of the word silent again means to keep silent. Unger's Bible Dictionary says that the word silent means the act of not speaking. Yes, it means the act of not speaking, and that is as clear as a crystal. And that's exactly how Paul defines the word, brethren. Look closely at how Paul defines the word within the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34. Paul says, let your women keep silent in the churches. Now, what does the word silent there mean? Paul then says, for they are not permitted to speak. For they are not permitted to speak. That's Paul's definition. And so, silence here, brethren, means silence. It means literally not speaking. Yes, the word literally means not speaking. And we can better understand this, brethren, when we look at the same word used earlier in the chapter. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 27, everybody mark verse 27 regarding those who could speak in tongues in the first century. Paul says here, if anyone speaks in a tongue, yes, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, look at this, brethren, but if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. And so if an individual in the first century had the ability to speak in tongues, if he had the ability to speak in tongues and there was no interpreter, that individual was to do what, brethren? He was to remain silent in the church. That means that he was to do what, brother? He was to keep silent. He was to hold his peace. He was not to speak out in terms of speaking in tongues. And so silence here means silence. It means literally be quiet. Yes, the word there literally means be quiet. Brethren, if there was no interpreter, if there was no interpreter, the tongue speaker was to what? Be quiet. Why? No one would understand him, and so nobody would be edified. Brethren, if I was up here speaking in fluent French, and I had no interpreter, and none of you spoke French, I would need to do what? I would need to be quiet in the church. Why? No one would understand me, and therefore nobody would be edified. And so we see here that the word literally means be quiet. Similarly, brethren, similarly, the word means the same thing when Paul regulates the speech of the prophets in verse 29. Paul says here, he says, let two or three prophets speak. Yes, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. You see that? Let the first keep silent. Why? For you can all prophesy one by one that all might learn and all may be encouraged. And so if an individual in the first century had the ability to prophesy them, here to prophesy and was doing so in the assembly of the Lord, if another person began to prophesy, he was to do what? He was to keep silent in the church. What does that mean? He was to remain silent. He was to hold his peace. He was to literally stop addressing the assembly and allow the other prophet to speak. Why, brethren? Otherwise, there'd be two speaking at the same time, leading to confusion in the assembly. And so you see here, silence here means silence. It means literally stop speaking. Yes, it literally means stop speaking. God expected that prophet to literally stop speaking. Why? He wanted his prophets, brethren, to speak one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And so similarly, brothers, here's the main point that we're driving home. Similarly, it's the same Greek word. The word means the same thing pertaining to the women in verse 34. Paul says here, he says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. But they're to be submissive, as the law also says. And so here Paul tells the women to remain silent in the churches, to remain silent in the church. And so this means that the women were to do what, brother? They were to keep silent. Yes, they were to keep silent. They were to hold their peace. They were not to speak out in the assemblies of the Lord. Now, how do we know this for sure, brother? How do we know that this is the correct interpretation of this passage? Because Paul literally tells us this in verse 34. Look at verse 34 again. Paul says, for they are not permitted to speak. For they are not permitted to speak, brethren. It doesn't get any clearer or more literal than that. And so you have some, brethren. You have some who teach that women can speak, can take the floor in worship assemblies or business assemblies in a non-authoritative way. However, notice that this directly contradicts. This directly contradicts what Paul says here in verse 34. He says, for they are not permitted to speak. For they are not permitted to speak. And then verse 35, where Paul says, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. And this is clearly reflected. All of this is clearly reflected in the New Testament pattern. But there are many examples. There are many examples where women remain silent in the assemblies of the Lord. Notice in Acts chapter 6 again. In Acts chapter 6, there was a problem in the church. The whole church gathered together to discuss this problem. Who spoke out in Acts chapter 6, brethren? Who spoke out in the assembly of the Lord? According to the Bible, the apostles spoke out in the assembly of the Lord. There were no women speaking in a non-authoritative way here in Acts chapter 6, brethren. Who might have wanted to speak out? The widows might have wanted to speak out. Especially the widows who were not being served. They might have been saying, hey, Peter, we're not being served here. But notice that none of the women spoke out here. Why? Women were to remain silent in the assemblies of the Lord. In Acts chapter 14, brother. In Acts chapter 14, again, Paul and Barnabas gathered the whole church together in order to give a report of their missionary journey. Brethren, who spoke out during that report? According to the scriptures, the Bible says that they spoke. Who was that? Paul spoke and Barnabas spoke. Brethren, there were no women speaking out in a non-authoritative way in Acts chapter 14. Were there prominent women in the church of Antioch? I'm sure there were. There are prominent women usually in every congregation, but did these women speak out during this meeting? Did they ask any questions? Not one spoke out here in the scripture. In Acts chapter 15, brother, remember, there was another problem in the church here. You have the whole church gathering together and assembling to discuss this problem. And what we're going to find out here is that some of them answered by the Spirit of God. And we do know in the first century that there were women prophets. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 9, it said that the daughters of Philip there were prophetess. And so who spoke out in Acts chapter 15, brother? Who spoke out here in the scriptures? Paul spoke. Barnabas spoke, Peter spoke, James spoke. There were no women speaking out in a non-authoritative way, brother. Not one woman spoke out here in the scripture. Brother, to do anything towards God, you must have the authority from God to do it. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about this in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. That's Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. Paul says here, he says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You must have authority to do anything. Well, not only has God prohibited women from speaking out in the assemblies of the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 through 35, brethren, there are no examples thereof. There are no examples of this, and therefore there is no authority for this in the Word of God. Now understand this, brethren. I want you to understand this also, that the silence here that the women are to take is not mutinous. No, the silence here is not literal mutinous. No, for example, the man who had a tongue but no interpreter. Yes, the man who had a tongue and no interpreter was to keep silent in terms of speaking in tongues. But this did not mean that the same man, brethren, this did not mean that the same man could not sing as commanded by God, or pray as commanded by God, or preach the sermon that morning as commanded by God, or leave the Lord's table as commanded by God. He simply could not speak out or take the floor in terms of speaking in tongues. And so this also applies to the woman who is told to remain silent. Therefore, this passage does not prohibit a woman. It does not prohibit a woman from whispering to her child that he needs to sit still and be quiet. She's not speaking out or taking the floor in the assembly of the Lord unless she does it loudly. Unless she says, "Sit down and shut up." But of course, our women would not do that. Nor does this passage prohibit a woman from singing to the Lord as she has been commanded to do by the Lord in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Nor does this prevent a woman from confessing Christ as she has been commanded to do in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. But with reference to speaking out in the assembly, or taking the floor in the assembly, or preaching in the assembly of the Lord, she is to do what, brother? She is to remain silent in the church. What does that mean, brother? She is to remain silent. She is to hold her peace. She is not to speak out in the assembly of the Lord. Now, some will claim that that's contradictory. I've heard that before. Some claim that that's contradictory. They say if women can't speak, they say if women can't speak, then they can't sing in the assembly or confess Christ. That's the argument. That's the argument that they come with. However, what at first glance, brethren, may appear to be a contradiction is not one at all, brethren. God's commands are never contradictory, and all of these are God's commands. One of the first lessons, one of the first lessons you learn in Bible study is never to array the commands of God against each other. And so whenever God speaks on any subject, what do? You bring the commands together. Yes, you bring the commands of God together in order to harmonize them. You never choose one command at the expense of another. Brethren, a positive command does not necessarily contradict a restrictive command. For example, brethren, for example, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, God clearly told Israel here not to do something. Yes, not to do something. God told them here not to work on the Sabbath, for it was holy. And what was the penalty for doing so? The penalty, brethren, was death. God was not playing. Yes, the penalty was death. Yes, according to Numbers chapter 15 and verse 32. That's Numbers chapter 15 and verse 32. A man was stoned to death for working or bearing burdens on the Sabbath. And so Moses' command was what, brethren? No work on the Sabbath. Now, brethren, turn with me, if you would, in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 9. Yes, that's Matthew chapter 12 and verse 9. Jesus teaches here, brethren, this is a great lesson. Jesus teaches here that there was a specific type of work that was acceptable on the Sabbath. Yes, there was a specific type of work that was commanded by God despite Moses' command of no work on the Sabbath. Here we learn, brethren, that God alone can make exceptions to his own rules or his own commands. And that God can be very specific, brethren, about what we can do and what we can't do. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, says, hear about Jesus. Now when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. You see what Jesus said there? He says, therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. And so Jesus here worked on the Sabbath. He did good works on the Sabbath and taught that it was acceptable. And so which command of God do you follow if you're a good Jew living during that time, brother? Do you follow Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, which says no work on the Sabbath? Or do you follow Matthew chapter 12, verse 12, which says good works on the Sabbath? Which one is it, brother? You follow both of them, brother. You follow both of them. They're both the commands of God. That's what the Jews didn't understand, those who came forward to accuse Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, brethren, there was a type of work that was prohibited on the Sabbath. That is, regular work, or what the Jews used to call bearing burdens. And there was a type of work that was commanded on the Sabbath. That is, good works. That is, works of kindness. In the same way, brethren, in the same way, there is a type of speaking that women are prohibited to doing in the assembly. That is, speaking out or taking the floor in the assembly of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Brethren, and there is a type of speaking that they have been commanded to do in the assembly. That is, speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Brethren, these commands are not contradictory. They are complementary. Yes, they are complementary. God is simply being specific, brethren, about what we can do and what we can't do. Notice fourth. I want you to notice fourth here that women are called to be submissive or in subjection by God. Yes, notice fourth, brethren, that women are called to be submissive or in subjection by God. And this is reflected, brethren, by their silence in the assembly of the Lord. Paul says here again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the church, for they are not permitted to speak. But they're to be submissive. You see that, brother? They're to be submissive as the law also says. Now, where did that principle of submission and subjection come from, brother? Well, Paul says, as the law also says. Yes, as the law also says. And so this principle, brother, comes from the Old Testament in the law. Let's look at this. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles, to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. Paul refers to something here in the law. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, as we look, brethren, at the principle of submission and subjection. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, says here, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. You see here again, brethren, women are under submission and subjection placed there by God. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Why, brethren? Paul gives the reason in verse 13. He says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Yes, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And so women must submit, brethren. Women must submit because of God's creation order. All of this has to do, brethren, with God's creation order. Adam was created first, then Eve. Man was created first, then woman. And this principle of submission and subjection, brother, this principle of submission and subjection was first established by God. Where? In the garden. Yes, in the garden. In the beginning, in the law. The minute Adam was created, he was head over all things on the earth. That's why the Hebrew writer, brethren, is able to say in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, that's Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. He says here about man, he says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. Yes, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. All things here, brethren, include the creation of woman who came what? After man and who was made what? For man. 1 Corinthians 11 in verse number 9. And so just as God placed woman under submission and subjection under the law, Paul says, as the law also says, God has also placed woman under submission and subjection under the law of Christ. Yes, turn with me, if you would, in your Bible, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 3. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 3, our scriptural reading from here, from this morning. Paul says here, brethren, regarding the divine order, brethren, this is the divine order of submission and subjection under Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says here, but I want you to know. Yes, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. And so here Paul enunciates, brethren, the divine order of submission and subjection commanded by God. God over Christ. Yes, God over Christ. Christ over man. Man over woman. That's crystal clear. Now, why does God command submission and subjection, brethren? Why is he doing this? Why is God commanding submission and subjection? Well, brethren, where there is submission, brethren, where there is submission, there is what? There is peace. There is order, and there is unity. And our God is a God of what, brethren? Our God is a God of peace. He is a God of order, and he is a God of unity. Brethren, why do you think the military uses submission and subjection? Why do you think they use weight? They're simply following God. They want what? They want peace, they want order, and they want unity within their ranks. And so wherever you see God's hand, wherever you see God's hand in this world, you're going to find submission and subjection. You can't get away from it. There is submission and subjection, brethren, in the Godhead. Yes, there is submission and subjection in the Godhead. Jesus and the Holy Spirit have submitted themselves. They have submitted themselves to the Father that the will of God might be done. Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. There is submission and subjection, brethren, in government. Yes, in government. Brethren, God created government and has ordained that we submit ourselves. Yes, that we submit ourselves to the governing authority that there might be peace and order. Romans chapter 13 and verse 6. There is submission and subjection, brethren, in the family. Yes, God placed it in the family. God has commanded women and children to submit themselves, brethren, to submit themselves under the authority of the father of that house. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 for women. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 for children. And so therefore, brethren, there is also what? Submission and subjection in the church, in the body of Christ. God has commanded that the saints submit themselves. Yes, that the saints submit themselves not only to the elders of the local congregation, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, but also that women submit themselves in general to men. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the passages that we just read. And remember, brethren, submission isn't always synonymous with inferiority. Women are not inferior to men. No, women are not inferior to men. My wife is not inferior to me, brethren. My wife is smarter than I am. I can admit that. My wife is smarter than I am. She always got better grades in school than I did. But brethren, as God is a God of order, as God is a God of order, he commands and he demands order within his body, within his assembly. Again, brethren, as Jesus and the Holy Spirit submitted to the will of the Father, that the will of God might be done, brethren, if God submits, then God surely expects us, brethren, to submit one to another to accomplish his will. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, brethren, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we see that the woman's submission is reflected by her silence in the assembly. And so conversely, brethren, conversely, when a woman speaks out in the assembly of the Lord, she is failing to submit to the authority that God has put in place. Remember that all of these are the commandments of the Lord. Notice fifth. Yes, I want you to notice fifth that speaking in this entire chapter, yes, speaking in this entire chapter has reference to speaking so as to lead the entire assembly. That's what the whole chapter is about, brethren. That's what Paul's talking about in verses 4, 5, 6, 9, 13, 16, 19, 23, 26, 27, 28, 29, throughout the entire chapter. And so those who speak out here, brethren, in effect, what are they doing? They're taking the lead. Yes, they're taking the lead. They're taking the floor. They're addressing the assembly. They're addressing the church as I am doing right now. And Paul says here that women are not to do so. They are not to do so. What are they to do, brethren? They're to remain silent in the church. What does that mean? They are to hold their peace, meaning they are not to speak out. Notice sixth. I want you to notice, six, that it is a command of God, brother. It is a command of God that women remain silent in the churches, in the assemblies of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, makes this crystal clear. Paul says again, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. Brethren, God says here that women are not permitted to speak out in the assembly. This is from the living God. Brethren, this is not a feeble request. This is not a feeble request from a weak God. This is not a passing thought of God. But remember, this is a commandment of the living God. Paul reminds us of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 37, where he says again, he says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write unto you here are the commandments of the Lord. Notice seventh and finally, brethren, as we close here. Notice seventh and finally, but not least of all, brethren, that it is shameful in the eyes of God for women to speak in church or in the assembly of the Lord. The Apostle Paul says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 35, he says here, he says, if they want to learn something, and if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home For it is shameful for women to speak in church. Now, some people believe that this only refers to the wives of the prophets. They say that that's talking about the wives of the prophets. However, the reason that they could not speak out, the very reason that they could not speak out, is the reason that all women are prohibited from speaking. Paul says again, for it is shameful. For it is shameful for women to speak in church. Brother, that includes all women. Yes, all women. Young women. Old women. Single women. Married women, brother. All women. All of the major translations teach the same idea. The American Standard Version says, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church. The New American says, for it is improper for a woman to speak in the church. The NIV says, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. The King James says, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. The Darby Bible says, for it is a shame for women to speak in assembly, brother. In assembly. Now, what does the word there, shameful, mean, brethren? Well, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, the word shameful means an abased, dishonorable, and disgraceful thing. Yes, an abased, dishonorable, and disgraceful thing. And so a woman would bring great dishonor, great disgrace upon herself in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God, and those are the only eyes that matter, brethren, when it comes down to it, if she failed to submit. Brethren, that's how serious this is. This isn't a game. This is not a game that I'm talking about here this morning. We're dealing with God and what he has told us to do when we approach him in the assemblies of the Lord. And brethren, what is God doing here? God is simply trying to place order in his church, in his assembly, and at the same time, brethren, he's trying to stop us. He's trying to stop us from doing something that would offend him. Now, brethren, why is it considered shameful? Why does the Holy Spirit use that word? You know, that is such a strong word, brethren. Why does he use that word? Well, isn't it always shameful? Isn't it always shameful when we deliberately disregard what God says or when we do the opposite of what God tells us to do? Isn't it shameful, brethren? Isn't it shameful when you see a small kid disobeying their parents in a store? You just want to run up to that kid and shake him and say, cut it out. Listen to your parents. I mean, it's absolutely shameful. Isn't it shameful, brethren? Isn't it shameful when you see a wife dominating her husband in public, basically pulling him around by his collar? Isn't that ugly, brethren? That's not funny. It's ugly. When God has told women to submit themselves to their own husband. And so isn't it shameful, brethren? Isn't it shameful when you see women refusing to adhere to the subjection, brethren? To the subjection that God has placed among them? Of course. Of course, and that's why God calls it shameful. And that's why this subject is so important, brethren, how we approach God in the assemblies of the Lord. And so as we close here this morning, brethren, we want to return to our original question, the question that we posed here in the beginning, brethren. Is it God's will? Is it God's will that women speak out in the assemblies of the Lord, that they preach in the assembly, that they take the floor, speak out in the assemblies of the Lord? Yes, it is God's will. Yes, it is God's will that women sing to the Lord, that they speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But that is what God has commanded them, as well as all of us, to do in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Yes, it is God's will. Yes, it is God's will that a woman would confess Christ, for God wants all men to be saved. All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. However, it is also God's will. It is also God's will that women refrain from speaking out or preaching in the assemblies of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Brethren, as God is a God of order, as our God is a God of order, he commands and he demands order within his body and within the assemblies of the Lord. Brethren, if God submits to God, think about this. If God submits to God, then we also should be willing to submit one to another that the will of God might be done Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. That God may receive the glory, the honor, and the praise that is due to his name. If you're not a Christian here this morning, if you have not obeyed God according to his word, this is your opportunity to come to Christ. If you believe here this morning that Jesus is exactly who he said he is, and that is the Son of God, and you're also ready to repent, that is, you're ready to make a change, you're ready to stop living life your way and begin living life God's way, you're ready to turn from all the bad things in your life, and you're also ready to confess Christ before men, then you're ready to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Come forward now as we stand and sing the invitation song. This is your opportunity to come to Jesus.